listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, Lucy Hill, and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Do you want to increase your success ratio? Reach the goals you've always dreamed about? Increase your confidence? Do you want to skyrocket your success? Amp up your skill sets? Ignite the self-starter in you. Take your free self-starter success assessment. Just go to secretsofselfstarters.com. That's secretsofselfstarters.com. And click on the free assessment button today.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Accent On.
Accent On, where is our little bit music up front for Accent On?
You would like Accent On music?
Come on, that's one how moment. Starts.
Here's how Accent On starts. That's okay. Accent On's signature music for Alona, and we have on the line with us Dr. Julie Miller. Dr. Miller, can you hear us?
We certainly can over here.
Oh, good. The doctor is in.
Southern California, gorgeous this evening, or perhaps you're listening from somewhere else as well.
Yes, sun is not going down yet, but obviously we have a lot of energy in the studio and in Seattle also. And I cannot wait, Dr. Julie Miller, to talk about self-starters today. And I know that every month we'll be joining with you for our hourly or 30-minute conversation. But this is the day for us and Natasha Mira-Tad. We have singer-songwriter in our studio. She will be talking a little bit about starting her career, but after Julie Miller.
Good to see you in the studio, Natasha. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. So, that was Alona Europa you were listening to, the founder and creator of Accent On, and by golly, you've got an accent.
I decided that time for people with accents to start speaking louder. We are everywhere. We are everywhere, and we liked by Americans. I know that. I'm here 23 years. I just cannot get rid of my accent, and I'm, to this point, feeling that I can speak out for all of us with funky accents, you know, and make this show a little bit colorful. And also, I have the wonderful pleasure to invite people without accent or with American accent and just enjoy their smartness, their, you know, sense of humor or creativity.
And Dr. Julie Miller, let's listen to your accent for just a second before we get into exactly who you are and what you're doing here.
Yes.
And we'll play the game.
Well, it's a Northwest accent, though, born and raised in L.A. What can I say?
I was going to go right there, Northwest and probably born and raised in L.A.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Well, for those of you who have not yet met Julie Miller or have not read any of her books, Dr. Julie Miller is the epitome of a self-starter. Traveling the country as a speaker and consultant to a number of Fortune 500 companies, Julie can spot a fellow self-starter pronto. She has credentials that reflect both a strong academic background with a doctorate in leadership studies and real-life practical experience through training and coaching more than 600,000 professionals. Thus, identifying the success attributes of successful people comes pretty easily to her. Dr. Julie's newest book, Secrets of Self-Starters. In it, she features 48 men and women of all ages, backgrounds, ethnicity, and education. Some have impacted their own communities in amazing ways, while others have changed the lives of people around the globe. You'll recognize quite a few of the self-starters from the Northwest, if you're in the Northwest area, and Julie has quite a fan base there.
And from Southern California, there's quite a few that people will recognize, which is nice.
Yeah.
Well, Julie,
and I'm actually talking to two self-starters, so it's very exciting to be here and be on the show and talk a little bit about self-starter-ness, if you will, and maybe about the success attribute of creativity.
Absolutely.
We like creativity.
Okay.
I know you do.
Without
so if you think about self-starters, and you're both those, and this young woman that's joining you on the show, I would tell you that I would list them that there are people who get things done, they're master achievers, and fulfill on audacious visions. And this young woman is going to be starting her college career in the fall, and she obviously had a vision to get there, and she persevered, and she set a goal, and she went for it, and she achieved it.
Natasha is going to what university again? I can't remember.
That would be the University of Southern California, my alma mater.
So oh, yes, the USC. That's right.
Oh, that must be amazing for her.
We just all run around the house every day getting more and more excited for Natasha. She's such an integral part of our world, so talented and such a wonderful young lady. And we're so happy to see that she's actually gotten into that university in one of these small spaces, the music business program, where about 41 people are let in. And she, you'll hear her later on. She's a singer-songwriter. Dancer, dance teacher, quite accomplished for a young lady, but definitely a self-starter, and one of the reasons we brought her in here with this segment for Julie.
Okay.
Well,
Julie.
And the other thing I would say to the two of you is, you know that self-starters are passionate. You know, they're bold. They take risks. I mean, Natasha took a risk to say, I'm going to go for it and see what happens, and then seize the opportunity, and it's in front of her now. And I would say to people who have parents who have young people out there who are either starting college or finishing college, that they have the skill sets to be a self-starter. They just have to access those again and use them to get a job.
How do you get a kid to be a self-starter, Dr. Miller?
Well, I would tell you, I believe that everyone is a self-starter. I just think that what happens is that people either lose confidence, or they get stuck in a job, or they find themselves in a position that they just can't seem to kick themselves into action. Because what we know is all successful people are self-starters, and self-starters are successful people, and they just take action. And that's what it's all about. Taking the next step towards your goal and doing it even if you're afraid.
Yes, but sometimes we have a long, long road to the success and we achieve one, and then we have long way down or very fast way down, then success just disappears. And I think for me, self-starters is like circle. Nobody, I don't know anybody who just say, okay, I just did something and I'm successful and I'm staying on the top of the world. I think it's the most important also, maybe you agree with me, Dr. Julie, that to keep going. You keep going when life...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, what do we really need? What type of goals we need to bring to our lives to just wake up in the morning and say, okay, I did so much, nothing works. But you really cannot stop doing that, you know. Do we need to start from different perspective? Do we need to change business? Maybe we need to just ask for advice, because I know, Julie Miller, obvious, you can do that.
I certainly can.
Yes, and you are a consultant. You have your own blog. You can really talk to the people, and obviously we'll be having on our website, LA Radio, talk radio show under Accent On. We will bring all links. Tell us, what do you think?
Well, Alona, let's just use your career. First of all, I think that people sometimes get stuck and they say, you know, this is my vision for who I am, and then circumstances change. I mean, you know, I know Jonathan knows this, I've always wanted to be a backup singer for a rock band, but somehow, you know, I couldn't sing terribly well, and, you know, those tight skirts weren't the best look on me. But in any event, you know, you have visions, and you life intervenes, and what you thought the path you were going to be on doesn't work out. I mean, just look what's happened to you. You came to the United States being an extraordinarily gifted singer, winning every possible award you can win in Poland, yep. To a country that didn't even know who you were, and you had to reinvent and choose a different vision to get where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I think that takes courage. It takes creativity. So talk to us a little bit about creativity.
Creativity, that's so big word, and is so many colors in this beautiful world. Sometimes you wake up at morning and you feel very depressed because you think that nothing really will work, and you have no idea where to turn to, or you know what will be the next beautiful thing that is in front of you, or maybe you will never find it. Then I went through a lot of ups and downs after when I understood that my career in America will maybe never be the same what was in Europe, which means having big shows, TV shows, a lot of recordings. Yeah, I came here, my English was really funny, much funnier than now even, and nobody really cared about me being a singer somewhere in Eastern Europe or in Europe. There was like, you know, a wake-up call for me saying, really, past maybe counts. Past is something so pretty that we need to keep in our memories, but really we need to build the future. I had a few years, you know, to really not knowing what to do, where to turn to. Naturally, I just always ask my husband for directions because he was the only one that I could really, in a way, trust and thinking he knows better. But, you know, after many years, I think I understood that also creativity is belonging to your own hands. You really need to create some vision in your head that you agree on. And, you know, if you follow somebody else's direction, sometimes this direction can be also hurting your way of thinking or feeling, or just can be a little different for what you wanted. Then, yeah, you know, I was looking, you know, I want to sing. I always wanted to sing. Then, you know, it took me long hours of finding out how no good I am, you know, competing with American singers whose English was first and foremost perfect. Music was completely different what I was used to writing or singing. Then I needed to have this, you know, cold showers. And every time I was waking up and, you know, sometimes crying for a long time, or sometimes just being very stubborn and say, I will not give up because I don't want to be nobody in this country. I know I was studying. I know I had education. I know I had my own point of view on everything, on everything until this day. I'm very opinionated, and sometimes maybe I'm wrong, but I know I'm speaking up my mind. But before, I couldn't. I didn't have enough words in my mind, in my head, to just speak out for myself. Then I took care of my studying language, and I did it on my own, you know.
How did creativity intercede and get you out of that rut?
Creativity. That's my husband who tries to think for me. He tries to put me on the right direction. But obvious creativity.
Trying to get you on track there.
But that's my creativity. You know, he wants to be concrete. To me, creativity is not only I set the goal. I sat behind the piano and I just created music and said, okay, that's what I will be. Because this didn't happen naturally. You know, there was again. This is a really, really big word. I don't have one opinion. Right. I think you need to do it. I think you need to try many different things. Singing was working, not working. Songs were written. They were liked, not liked. Needed to meet a lot of people. Some people laughed at me. Some people loved at me. Some people just, till this day, are the bestest friends of mine, and they just adore me, adore what I do, and understand me. Then, you know, I said, okay, singing cannot be maybe for me in the biggest way that I will maybe never be on a stage. You know, years also were passing by. I knew, like, you know, I cannot be maybe the youngest girl anymore on a stage. And we had years of Britney's and NSYNC's that only age really counted. And the more mature people, they were in trouble when it comes to art. Then, right. You know, I was right. Looking into something else. And I opened my vocal music academy, which I was, you know, coaching a lot of young artists and creating music for them, and I was creating. This still was music, and then you know.
But listen to listen. I want people to hear as you listen to Alona's story. I want you to hear the success attributes of a self-starter. She had a vision. She's trying to figure out what it was. She got support from other people to help her do it. She persevered trying to figure out that vision. She had passion for what she knew was her gift. She would seize opportunities, in this case starting that academy, and she was self-motivated enough to keep moving forward, still with support. And she used her creativity. What could I create and make up to help me get where I wanted to go? And she took huge risks. And you also, in my book, Alona, used the whole success attribute of positive thinking, that you just would not give up. You would turn the negativity around and move forward. And those are all the attributes of a success of a self-starter.
Alona goes a step further than positive thinking. Alona takes it to positive world building. She simply builds a world which I think a lot of self-starters do. She builds a world which she inhabits, and she invites you to join her or get lost.
Yes.
And if you join her, you're in her world. It has nothing to do with reality. It has to do with the way that she structured the world as she sees it. And as a result of that, pushing forward her way, she gets a percentage of the things that she's shooting for, which is far, far better than if you didn't do that at all.
Yeah, I really believe, Julie, you said so beautifully. You know, you really did, you made my road, you painted it with
she
words.
She said it's all about me. It's all about my support for you. Thanks so much, Julie.
No, right now it's about Julie, way how she describes self-starters who
beautiful.
Are, you know, there are people with an accent. I think I represent also a group of people who came from another country in a way, you can say is similar to Americans, but on another hand, I wasn't part of this country. I wanted to become a person. I didn't want to be, sorry, only housewife, which is nothing wrong with that, but I knew I have more in me, and I wanted to scream these things out, and I learned that positive thinking is very important. I always am very laughable, easygoing, and full of energy, but people can take this energy from you and they can put you down
right.
and down
right.
and down.
Right.
And it's really only your responsibility when you want to self-start yourself again and again and again to think positive. And, you know, and people say, oh, you think only everything will be happening right, but there's so many obstacles here and there. Yeah, there are. You know, you go.
Sure, there are. And you just walk around them or leap over them or have someone hold your hand as you go around them. I mean, absolutely. No one has a smooth ride.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I would say that I have found, and I'm taking this, Jonathan, back to the corporate environment, that the one thing that companies must do is that they must retain and develop the self-starters in their companies, and that is where innovation and creativity is going to occur, and that's going to bring them bottom-line results. If you don't have people that are thinking of new ideas, the next generation of whatever, you're going to close your doors because that's what it's all about.
You also have to have a company culture that rewards that instead of suppresses that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what Self-Starter Enterprises, that's a beautiful segue, because that's what we do, is come in and work with companies and help them think about how to create an environment where self-starters thrive. I'm working with a very, very large bank right now, and you wouldn't think of a bank as being creative, but that's one of the things they want to do, is build creativity into their culture. And that's what we're actually working on this week.
Well,
so.
Speaking of self-starter enterprises, let's pause for a moment for a brief message from Dr. Julie's camp as to how you can get in touch with her. And right after that, we're going to go right into another quick message. As many of you know who are our frequent listeners, this show is a grand supporter of a group called Child Help. And we do have Michael Douglas, who is one of the ambassadors, the celebrity ambassadors for Child Help. So Secrets of Self-Starters first, followed by Michael Douglas, and then we'll be back with Dr. Julie Miller. We'll see you in just about a minute.
No matter where you are in life or what you are doing, there is always room for expansion, always room to enhance your strengths, bolster weakness, and launch yourself to extraordinary heights of performance. Are you a self-starter? Ignite the self-starter in you. And take the free self-starter assessment. Just go to secretsofselfstarters.com. That's secretsofselfstarters.com. And click on the free assessment button today.
I'm Michael Douglas, and I have a number for you to program into your child's phone and yours. 1-800-4-A-CHILD. It's the Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline. 1-800-4-A-CHILD provides a connection to professional counselors 24/7, which your child can use when they need to speak up and be safe. It's also the number a little boy called whispering from his closet to be rescued from a vicious attack. It's the number that any responsible adult, neighbor, teacher, or family member can call to get help reporting abuse or to get information. 1-800-4-A-CHILD is the number of hope. The Child Help National Abuse Hotline is funded solely by your contribution, so please text your $10 donation to CHLP to 20222. This gift may be the lifeline for that little boy in the closet, or even the emergency call that saves your child.
And we're back with Dr. Julie Miller. You know, Dr. Miller, we're talking about creativity, and sometimes I think it gets almost this, boy, I wish I had it thing from so many people who don't perceive themselves as creative. And I think often those people who have creativity recognize it less of an attribute than a result of sort of fractured failure. I'm often reminded of my attempts at creativity basically as if I were a rat in a cage and a maze. And you simply bump into a lot of stuff. And the stuff are the obstacles or the objections that you get. And so you turn around, you go the other way. Eventually, you find a way to a piece of cheese. And then you go, aha, look how creative I am. And everybody around you says, oh, look how creative you are. But in Ilona's case, I clearly remember us being stymied by the issue that she had such a heavy accent. And that in America, singing with the accent just wasn't working. And finally we went, okay, instead of bumping against that wall, let's turn it to our favor and let's change her name. And we changed her to Ilona Europa. And we went, hey, she's got an accent. And that's what she's about. And as soon as you did that and stopped making her try and sing like all the Americans, she took off. So, I mean, I don't know how creative that was. It probably took months, if not years, to come up with the quote-unquote epiphany, and maybe somebody brighter than me would have done it faster. But I don't know that the exercise of creativity was that of a great aha as much as it was bumping against all of the negative corners and just not quitting. So your thesis of creativity has something to do with never, ever, ever giving up or being supported and so forth has a lot to do with the rat in the maze theory, I think.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that people think, oh, well, I'm not creative, and I believe it's a learned skill, that you can learn it, and you're finding that corporations are actually giving time to it now and saying, you know, we're going to spend some time brainstorming. But, you know, I have just a very quick story. The software company called me from the East Coast and said, you know, we'd like to hire you for an hour or two to do some consulting with us. And I said, well, what's the issue? And she says, well, our mission statement is that we are going to create the next generation software. And I said, well, how's that going for you? She said, we haven't done anything in 18 months. And I said, well, what's the issue? And I said, describe your team meeting. She says, oh, well, you know, those software developers, they're crazy. And some guy raises his hand and says, I have an idea, and everybody rolls their eyes.
Yeah.
I said, well, you just... your own problem.
You just said the four words I hate to hear from Ilona the most. I have an idea.
Oh, Julie, right. I just so much love you that you said that, because that's what really makes people who are more seeing black, I don't know, because I really see black and white, but people who just don't like dreamers, they do not like people with creativity because they bring trouble. You know, they bring trouble, shake everything.
It's messy.
And then sometimes ideas are not so smart. And I can say not every idea that I have is the right idea. But the idea that I was thinking through, they're not coming like, oh, I have an idea, do it. I really, before I put idea on the table, I think I'm giving a lot of time to think about this. But sometimes, anyway, it's so weird that people who listen to me like roll their eyes and like, really? And you know what? A few months later, my idea is working. Like, even accent on a radio show. Come on, you know, I have funky accent. I know it's colorful to listen to it, but it takes courage to speak your mind knowingly that some people will say, what did you say? And I cannot have closed caption, like on TV, you know, that people can really read sometimes what I say. But 15 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I was talking about it. I want something like that. We have so many great people with accent. They're afraid. Speak out. Can I do that? Can I do this? And eventually life brings you to the perfect moment. And
that's
our
right.
Moment was here. And, you know, I just had interview with another client of mine because I'm also an agent, talent agent. And we had great, great interview with Scott Liebfried from Hell's Kitchen. And I was on LA Talk Radio being part of interview with my client. And I said, I think I can do that. I can. I have so much to say outside, inside, you know, whatever. I know I have a lot. And now look at you. I have you with me every month. And you know what? I want you to teach people because self-starters – dreamers and creative people, they need support, and I am voting for support, and I love people like you because you allowed us to think, feel like we can, and you don't say we cannot, and you even write the books. about that.
I think the book is very important.
Thank you very much.
Julie.
Secrets of Self-Starters. And if you want to go to the website, selfstarterzone.com, please feel free to go and take the free assessment, and you'll see how you score on creativity and where your strengths really lie.
It's true.
I think the book is a very important contribution, because I think a lot of people have been downsized both physically, financially, and mentally.
Yes.
And it's the mental part that ruins you and makes you feel like you can't do something. So the book Secrets of Self-Starters has scores of interviews done not by somebody who's subjectively trying to figure things out in a narrative, but rather by a PhD. And it's Dr. Julie Miller, not Baccalaureate Julie Miller, and not Master's. It's PhD in leadership from USC. She's on a board of regents over there. It's a serious woman with a serious background and discipline who makes this her life. And what she's done is actually create the description that Alona's getting at, which is, if you don't have the support system around you, the best support is 50 some odd other people who have done it and are all different. Because when you start reading Julie's book and you get to person number one and person number two and person number three, and you see these very short backgrounds and the very clear analysis that Julie provides, you get story, you get a narrative that is doctrinal rather than subjective. And it gives you an uplifting feeling, like, if all these people can do this, maybe I can too. It also gives you a relative set of tools that you can pick and choose from. And I always hated going to the restaurant when I was a little kid and they gave me three crayons. There wasn't enough in the box to be creative with. And Julie gives you, I think there's 48 people in this
book.
And she does analysis at the back of the book as to what their parentage is like, whether they're left-handed or right-handed. This very interesting connect the dots that make you identify with a few of those people and learn from them and give you the support if you don't happen to have it at home. Not everybody's got a husband as great as me, you know? And oh, wait a minute. My wife is pushing the mute button here. Julie, tell us about creativity in the workplace. I know this is only one of the 9 success attributes, and as we go through the weeks and months here, we're going to talk about some of the others, but obviously everybody loves to hear about creativity. Tell us the story about Ron and maybe Helen from your side and your research that you did, and they're two people that are in the book. And give
sure, and you
insight.
Can give me the hook when you feel like you need to move on to the next segment.
No, but take 20 seconds.
Okay, all right. So anyway, one of the things I would say is that people need to think, when they think about creativity, it's originality, it's ingenuity, it's imagination. I believe it can be learned. I know some of the self-starters in this book developed and nurtured. And one of us is Ron Barbaro, who was an Italian immigrant into Canada and grew up literally above his parents' Italian grocery store, and at 18 was given a suitcase and $5 and told, you know, goodbye and good luck with your future, because we really can't support you anymore. And he did not want to work in the grocery store. So he moved to the next big town, I think it was in Ottawa, and decided to get in the insurance business. And his real epiphany was, and that's why I say creativity can be a learned skill, there is a gentleman who is a total genius, Edward de Bono, who is really someone that has really taught people how to be creative and how to think creatively. And Ron took that, became kind of a disciple of Dr. de Bono, and used that technique in insurance. Well, the ultimate was when he was invited to go for the opening of a new hospice center for AIDS patients in Toronto. And when he entered the building, he went into one of the beds, and here was this beautiful young man, and he said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And the man screamed back at him and said, "I'm not doing too well, but I'd like you to help me die with dignity." And Ron was very shaken by that and left. We passed 2 weeks, couldn't stand it, called up the woman at the hospice center and said, "How is that young man?" "Oh, he died." "Oh, he died?" "Yes. And you know, the only thing he had as a possession were his shoes. He sold everything else. He wasn't even able to pay for his parents to come from Germany to say goodbye." And he said, "How is this possible? How can this be that people And she says, oh, he has a $150,000 life insurance policy. Well, he says, this just isn't it right. Well, anyway, he says, as he tells it, he got his, all the brains together in his business, and he said, we're going to solve this problem. And Ron came up with the living will benefit that is now applied at every insurance company, that if you are terminally ill, you may use your life insurance to ease, for palliative care or whatever, to ease your time. And in fact, how it happened was he got interviewed by Tom Brokaw, and Prudential, the head guy at Prudential called up Ron and said, I just saw you on TV. What did you do? And he told him, he says, this has never happened in 150 years of insurance. And he says, this is the right thing to do. It was all creativity, all creative thinking.
And one human being can change so many people's
Absolutely.
Lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he changed it for millions of people. Just an amazing guy. He's in his 80s now. And just a true gem.
So what's the takeaway from that, Dr. Miller?
The takeaway from that is that through the discipline of coming up with creative ideas and using a discipline, you can change a life, come up with a brilliant new idea, lead you in another direction, have a vision for your future, and not be stopped by it. And he had that really, and compassion were really his two success attributes. He felt he had to do the right thing.
Okay, but still sounds to me like the bouncing around the maze, and just like the case with Ilona and the accent, so you change, the epiphany is don't go with the flow, go against the flow, and call her Ilona Europa, and now she's allowed to have the accent, and she thrives. Here's a man who's in the insurance business. There is no product that solves for this, and he finds at the end of that little trap in the maze that he's up against a wall, and this poor guy has $150,000 available, but he can't use it till he dies. And so stuck there, he goes, well, why can't you use it? It's the question that generates the creativity.
That's correct.
Why can't I sing with an accent?
Yeah.
Why can't I? And so I think for people who are listening and trying to figure out this creativity thing, a lot of times you have to relish the trapped corner. You have to look at the place where you can't get anywhere, where you're in the maze and you've got nowhere to go. And you have to go, why am I here? Because that's where the epiphany tends to come. And it's called creativity very many times.
But Jonathan, did you also hear that he didn't do it alone? Again, he had a support, a group of people that he pulled together and said, hey, this is what I'm thinking, let's hash it out. So often it isn't a lonely process, it is with others to help you get there. And if you don't have a support system, go out and seek it. Because there are millions of places you can go for support, for an idea, for a business, for a career. They're just everywhere.
You know, I have an answer for this type of searching who can help me. I'm just always asking these people eye to eye, would you like to help me? And you know what I found out? That Americans or my friends, or girls or girlfriends or a lot of friends, they're afraid to ask for help. They're thinking that if they will ask means that they don't know. Maybe somebody will be judging them. You know, and I really believe that we love to help each other. We really like, maybe we don't like somebody to be too successful. Sometimes we are jealous. But overall, we understand if we can help somebody, that's why we are in this world. You know, I want to share. Oh, I know. You don't know. I can show you how. I can show you. I love that. I love that.
Me too.
And I will say that I just love Americans for that. They don't ask too much for help. They need to learn how to. They need to feel like they have right to ask, and not everybody can do everything. In this crazy world, 2012-13, we think we know everything because it's everything under our finger on computer and we can get an answer, but that's not true because it's different to learn knowledge. Different is live through the knowledge of something. And I think next person to ask can just describe us, take our hand and say, you know, shortcuts, you don't need to go through 2 years of, you know, hardship. I will show you how. Oh, this is the person. Call them. Talk to them. And you know what? I think the story in your book, Self-Starter's book, they describe beautifully the roads of so many life stories, you know, that, that have great, in a way, endings, or still they're going up, up, up. But these people are very interesting. That I would love, again, Julie, if you can send us, you know, to Amazon even, yes? And we can purchase. Everybody can purchase the book. Jonathan, who can
just
you
just go
us?
To Amazon.com and put in Dr. Julie Miller or Secrets of Self-Starters. And we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back after we support Child Help and Dr. Miller's cause.
Don't give up hope. Think of the kids.
It's over.
Never.
We're down by 50.
50?
But we're only 2 minutes left.
Huh?
Oh, Norm.
You're going down. Down.
Oh, that does it. You, you're in.
Finally.
A case of abuse is reported every 10 seconds. While you were watching this video, 3 cases of abuse, including sexual and physical, were reported. Visit childhelp.org to learn more. And in the meantime, please send in whatever you can.
Use your voice.
Or text a $10 donation now. Send the word CHLP to the number 20222.
Get in the game. Fight abuse. 5 children die every day.
Do you want to increase your success ratio? Reach the goals you've always dreamed about? Increase your confidence? Do you want to skyrocket your success? Amp up your skill sets? Ignite the self-starter in you. Take your free self-starter success assessment. Just go to secretsofselfstarters.com. That's secretsofselfstarters.com. And click on the free assessment button today.
And we are right out of time with Dr. Julie Miller, but Dr. Miller, if there's anything you want to say before leaving, the floor is yours. We love having you here.
Oh, well, thank you. And as I've said before, the two of you are self-starters, as is Natasha. And I think that what we find is that people that really access those strengths live more happier lives, more satisfied lives, have better experiences in the workplace if they're doing their passion and living their dreams than those that aren't. And so, again, I would really, as the commercial said, invite you to take the success assessment and see how you do and see where your strengths lie and how we can help. And I thank you so much, both of you, Jonathan and Alona, for letting me speak tonight.
We kind of see it as a mandate, and the more we can share you with the rest of the world, the happier I think the world will be.
More
it's not
creative.
Just for individuals. If you're a corporation out there, if you're a VP of marketing, if you're in human relations, if you are in training, take a look at The Secrets of Self-Starters from Julie Miller, and look at DrJulieMiller.com. Fascinating opportunities to change the course of your business in places that you didn't even know. And sometimes, as Alona says, all you have to do is ask and see what somebody like Dr. Miller can bring you. So,
and please tune in May, second week of the May. Julie Miller will be with us, and next month also. Then see you and talk to you, Julie, soon.
Thank you so much. You can always get Dr. Miller segments through iTunes or the Android store. It's all over the web, or you can download the Android or iPhone version of the program for LA Talk Radio. Just search LA Talk Radio, and you can hear us live and search archives. Dr. Miller, thank you so much for being with us. Next up, Natasha Mira Todd.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh. Well, we've got a self-starter that's hard to beat. 17 years old, beyond beautiful. One of the first dancers, classically trained dancer. She is the youngest dancer to have taught at California Dance Theater in Southern California. Prestigious, long-range school, been around for a long time, has a great reputation. Their youngest actual faculty member, tremendously talented, tremendously creative, a songwriter, a singer, dancer, actress. And she has a lot to say about the young generation, and we're going to talk to her as she begins her embarkation on the thrill of a lifetime, a education at University of Southern California, USC. She's going to be a regular correspondent for us and bring us a college view and a younger view so that this show can reach out to all age groups. Before we introduce her, I'd like to play a whole song of hers, Go Now and Tell Her. And we'll be right back after you hear Natasha Mira Todd. To LA Talk Radio in Los Angeles, California. It's 78 degrees in the sunny city of California. Guess that's a state, isn't it? That was just Natasha Mira Todd with Go Now and Tell Her. Welcome, Natasha, to Accent On. How
Thank
are you today?
You. I'm so excited to be here. I'm great.
Great to have you. Thank you for being in studio with us. Always nice to have beautiful young people in studio.
Aww.
So tell me what it's like to be young.
What it's like to be young.
Yeah.
It's
I've
a lot.
I've forgotten.
It seems a lot easier than it should be, but it's really not. I mean, kids are going through college applications, you know, job forces are getting difficult. Everyone's going on to a lot difficult schools, and, you know, it's a lot of pressure, but it's still exciting and fresh and new.
Are kids optimistic, do you think, or pessimistic right now about their futures?
Pessimistic, I'd have to say. I mean,
Why?
A lot of people are just worried in general about the job market, about being able to get a stable job, and everyone's just so nervous to be able to do what they want and feeling that they're getting a smaller and smaller opportunity to do what they want to do. So,
but Natasha, I call you Natasha because I know you many, many years, and you are on the way onto something really big. What
yes.
is this?
I recently have got accepted to USC.
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 The University of Southern California.
Sounds so good.
I'm so excited.
What do you be studying?
Why did you pick USC? Was that your first choice?
It was absolutely my first choice. Yeah. I will be studying music industry and music business.
And what school of business or what school is that at USC?
Well, it's at the Thornton School of Music, but part of the classes corresponds with the Marshall School of Business.
Mm. Wow.
Then,
heck of a hybrid.
And this will happen in August. You are moving to the school, yes? You'll be living on, in dormitory,
freshman
yes?
year.
Freshman year, okay. But in the meantime, you have so much that you are working on. Maybe start when you were 3 years old.
When
Who
I was...
introduced you to the music, to dance?
Yellow because... is the color of the rainbow.
Yeah, my grandmother, Carol Noily, she definitely got me started with dancing when I was little, before I could even walk, putting me into her classes. She's a dance teacher and has been for many, many years through all different ages. And my family has always been surrounded by music. My parents are really deeply involved with music, so I was grown up around it, so I had no other choice but to be in music as well.
But God, thank you. Also have a little bit business mind. Yeah, I know,
yes.
You know your father, of course, deals with a lot of contracts, but I think grandfather also helps you sometimes.
My grandfather definitely has the economic mind.
That, what I'm saying is
I noticed she's reading a book by Greenspan. She walked into the studio. She's got a
AP Economics.
Alan Greenspan book in her hand.
But why I'm asking this question, because, yes, I know you are dreaming to be a singer. You are a songwriter. You're a great singer already. You will be studying music, business of music. You have help of so many people. It's like not easy to raise a nice human being, and you need a lot of help. And obvious family is the first, the most important,
yeah,
I think, part of any child. Growing up, then, and we are like begging everybody who hears us, parents, give children the best what you can, you know, take time, then just not only hold them and give them another lesson here and there, but it just listen to them. If they need help, you just need to help them, you know, and they will pay beautifully later for all of this help by hugs and kisses and hopefully nice food.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah,
yes,
I think having a strong family really has helped me through everything that I've been going through. And
that and about $250,000 to get you through USC.
Oh, yeah. It'll be worth it.
Obviously, this is the ways that life works. But I know that smart children and parents, they can find a way to support child through schooling or, you know, through university. Yes, this is a challenge. It's a very expensive school, I understand. But hopefully you get some sponsors. Okay, outside of it, sweetie. I will tell you, because you are so young, and you know, just tell me, you are working on your new album, yes?
Yes, I've been working with a whole bunch of fabulous producers and arrangers from all different spectrums of the industry, from Josh Harris, who's worked with artists such as Seal, Madonna, and Cher, to Dom Capuano from Italy, who...
Eiffel 65.
Oh, of course. Yeah, everyone knows the hit. I'm blue, da-ba-dee-da-ba-dee, da-ba-dee-da-ba-da. We all know that song.
Yeah.
and just, I'm so honored to be working with all these
Dan
amazing...
Solovitz.
Dan Solovitz, of course, who does
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. Oh, it just goes on and on. So many incredible different producers.
In a funny way... our past guests, some of them, they already spoke to us, you know, because the circle of our friends is so big. We have thousands of people that we all would like to introduce to our show and just talk more and more about their creativity, their talents. And, you know, happens that we are talking about music today with Natasha. Natasha, but, you know, you are a songwriter. This didn't happen over a... Like, you wake up and like, okay, now I'm writing.
No, it was a long process. I feel songwriters have to be very vulnerable when they write, and... It really takes a lot to be comfortable with saying what you really want to feel and to just let everybody hear what you want to say. So I really started writing, I think when I was maybe 13 or 14 was when I really started to feel comfortable in my own skin. And just since then, I've been developing my own style.
And you are working for hours in your own home studio, and you are creating...
Nothing like GarageBand.
then again, parents, please, music is so important. And if child asks for guitar or piano lessons or just doesn't want to practice...
Or
you
a
don't...
yacht. Airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Airplane. No, but if child wants it and they don't want to practice it, don't scream at children. They are going through these ups and downs, but keep teacher coming to your home and just give them 1 hour lesson, and just don't even ask child to practice, because through the 1 hour a week...
Just having that exposure, I think, eventually they'll appreciate it. I know a lot of kids feel frustrated when their parents say, you have to practice, you have to practice.
And... But sometimes four chords creates the beautiful song.
Absolutely.
You know? Then, you know, Ken starts like that, and
Well, in the old days, it was tougher because the American standard was, ooh, let's give you one ballet lesson a week and call it art. Or let's give you a guitar lesson a week. You can't really do art with an hour a week. But now that there are things like GarageBand,
the standards are so much higher because you have such more availability to all these great products.
But you can sit there on YouTube now, and you can take your own tutorials on anything from people.
Absolutely.
And then you can keep working. So you're not bound by the one-hour lesson for $45 or whatever, which makes it actually easier because of the computer age to be creative.
Yeah.
In about 30 seconds, because that's what we're looking at right now, Natasha, give us an idea of where you think creativity comes from.
I think you really need to be flexible to be creative, and I feel like entrepreneurship is a big part of being creative. I think it comes with your inspiration from the surroundings that you're with and the people you're with. So I think just feeling free to let yourself do what you want and to be inspired is really where creativity roots from.
And where are you headed to in your next creative venture?
I will definitely be inspired by going to USC tomorrow for their admitted student day. I will be so excited to meet all the new people that I'll be working with and go to the Thornton School of Music.
And we'll have you back because I know you have already 10 or 6 songs recorded, and I think we'd like to know more, and you'll be talking to from the campus. And
absolutely.
You'll tell what's happening hot in USC.
All right. This is it for this week. Thank you so much.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.